Sounds good.
Hot and
We're
steamy.
recording. Steamy. We can stop gossiping about all the things now.
How much people's machine payments are?
What do you mean?
Good, man.
Good. I'm riding the high of automation.
No kidding.
Came in this morning. Robot was still turned on. I just pressed start. Turned on the air. I kept sanding dowels.
I'm ready, boss.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
Give me that stick.
Bit of a milestone yesterday. Setting up a fully hands-off cell, as you might have seen on the gram.
Mm-hmm.
Abby self-loading sticks of dowel, sands them, offloads them. Not so delicately. The thump into the bin and picks up the next one. Although just as we were setting up to record this morning, I was like, I'll keep running it while we're recording. Why not? I'll put a nanny cam on it. I set up a webcam. I put the webcam on the robot so it could follow the movement. And then for the first time in, like, I don't know, the 15 sticks that I've run so far, it failed to pick up off the fixture. So I was like, damn it. All right, I better turn it off. While I go and talk to Justin, so I'm not running off to fix it.
It's the 5%,
baby. I know. So I need to work on my lights out reliability. Tweak the program a bit.
You need, like, the table to have a little shake to it so they keep rolling down.
I don't know why it failed to pick up. Just missed.
Oh, you could have it bump them. Give it a little bump every time.
But yeah, so I'm pretty buzzed on that whole thing.
No kidding.
Excited.
It's super cool.
It's fun. You know, and having fantasized about lights out anything, not that I plan to run this thing overnight. There's absolutely no need to, but having sort of fantasized about that for a long time, it's pretty cool to have something set up like this.
Want the robots to be making money when you're not there.
Yeah.
Physically standing by it.
Yeah.
Super cool. Yeah, I saw you posted this story and I was thinking, like, I sent it to a couple people and I was like, oh man, I hope this is still there. He's got to put this somewhere else. This is good stuff. It's going to disappear.
I will do another YouTube vid presently. Updating.
I think this is going to be like, this is going to be good. Like, I think it'll, it's the other stuff was cool, but it was so, like, maybe conceptual, right? It's air sanding. This is like, well, as I said, do you know the phrase hook 'em horns?
Hook 'em horns, nah.
So Texas, the University of Texas football team or sports teams, you do this stupid, I'm not going to do it. It's like this little, especially as a Nebraska alumni, we would play them and they do this little hand signal. It's like their gang sign.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, hook 'em horns. And
gotcha.
Your little horn gave me a horns vibe on the end of the robot to move your dowel.
Yeah, my janky little horns with their 3D printed adapter. And but it works.
Did you just bend it yourself?
Yeah, I've got a rod bender jigger thing.
Ooh.
From when we used to do a lot of steel work. One of the first tools we bought, actually. Early tools. So I've been in a grasshopper hole this week playing programming games and improving my programming capabilities. It's been satisfying and getting that. So I didn't, I spent a lot of the day yesterday just getting that sanding rig set up and tested and programmed. And all the intermediate steps are all like hand coded, like jogged to the right position, look at the coordinates, plug it into my program, tweak.
And such, you know how to do that in that language now?
In Rapid,
it's not just like X, 6, Y, 32.
Nah.
That's inches, so that would be very helpful for you.
I'm mainly using joint angles for that intermediate stuff, which seems to be working nicely. Like, I jog it, look at the six joint values, and then put that in as a movement command into the rapid, and that's working pretty well. Yeah. What are you up to? Oh, I know what you're up to because we chatted.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking big things.
I want to start off first and let everybody know about your episode you're on with the Shop Stool podcast.
The Stool.
And you sent it to me, which I think was fun. I listened to it that night. Basically, you sent it to me, and it was really interesting for me to hear you on another show, like a podcast, because all I know is this. And I mean, for every intent and purposes, you're the same person, but you're a little slightly different. Especially because all of the other people in the show are also Australians, right?
Joey's Kiwi, New Zealander, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
But basically.
Should I be able to hear that? Is that a different accent?
Yeah, it is a different accent.
Oh my God. All right. Well, mostly Australian. I linked it in the show notes. It's a good listen, and you're doing your normal transparent business self of kind of, you know, what's been happening since the last time we were on the show, and it was good. It's interesting.
Cheers. Yeah, it was good to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, yeah, like I've had a couple of instances in the last week where I've had that sort of external validation, I suppose, of like, you know, talking someone through. It's like when someone comes here for a shop tour, it's like you walk them around and you get sort of someone else's perspective, and it's good for my sense of like, yeah, this is valuable, we have built something good, like
yeah they complimented you at some point on like, it makes total sense. The rest of them are maybe more traditional woodworkers, right, for the most part. I got the vibe.
Yep.
And you are much more, have built something that's much more of like a production system per se, especially with Kitto Parts at this point, where we're complimenting you on building a business that both survived what you went through with your downsizing, and then the idea that like you could be away for a week and stuff still rolls and you don't deal with production hands-on kind of things anymore. And
yeah.
Obviously a lot of luster on the robots, which is fun to talk about.
They are fun to talk about. Yeah. Yeah. So no, it was good. Good week for the mood enhancing week overall.
Mood enhancing week. Title.
And for the first time in my life, I went and saw a chatted to a human therapist. That was also a mood enhancing experience. Oh,
nice. Was it good, I guess? Did it feel helpful?
Yeah, look, I really didn't know what to expect. But it felt helpful, and it felt different to strangely enough, it felt different to AI therapists that I've built and spent a lot of time talking to.
There was true empathy.
This is empathy. And a sense of external accountability. Amazing.
It didn't ask me if I wanted to draft an email at the end either. It's weird.
You're supposed to ask if you want that summarized in a PDF at the end of the chat.
Always be drafting.
It's good. Something I thought about doing for a long time and finally did. And even, yeah. Yep.
I need such. I think it was this year. I had a therapist for like a week, and every time I've tried, this is just like the epitome of America healthcare. This person was on and thought they were approved for my insurance as well, and then turned out wasn't. So I was like, all right, this is the go there.
Bugger.
I suppose I've had a pretty good week. Right after I talked with you last week, I kind of had kind of had noted it, and I had asked a bunch of people, a bunch of friends about this machine I was looking at, which was a UMC 500, kind of in my local region. It's really well priced, private seller, but like through a broker in this weird way. That I hadn't, it felt a little sketchy. It was part of my like slowness to react and trying to figure out if it was right for us and financing and rigging and all these different, you know, when you don't buy a machine through a just straight, you know, new, you got to figure out a lot of stuff. Mm. Even when you do, you still have to figure out a lot of stuff. So, what happened was, I was trying to figure out a friend to go with me to go inspect it because it was a couple hours away and I wanted to make sure. I don't know what I was going to see. I don't know these machines, but like that's why I was trying to bring a friend that knew more. So I was trying to figure that out and I was messaging the seller or the broker and basically I started to line up a date. Like I was going to go that weekend, like the next day. Mm. And out of nowhere, the guy goes, "This is crazy, but I think I just sold it." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, I told you like another person was really interested in it too." And I was like, no, it's been listed for like a year and a half. You had no urgency at all, man. So I talked to him on the phone. I was pretty pissed about it because
bugger.
In my mind, he was like, "Oh yeah, come look whenever it's available." Mm-hmm. You know? And I had found like listing notes about this machine since January of 2024. It had been listed for sale.
Wow.
I think it's too high of a price, but like anyway. So I was just like, I messaged you. I was like, I really felt like I really messed up and like lost a great opportunity. Mm. It was, you know, really low hours, great machine, like opportunity anyway. Basically what I was thinking, more or less what I was been thinking about since I went to IMTS, like what's the next machine? How do I get into some form of automation, remove the need for like constant tending of a machine which doesn't have automation but it's capable and
it's five funny, axis, isn't it?
So it can like, yeah, what?
Oh, it's just the second hand factor makes for a funny dynamic, like a weird dynamic. It's like if you're buying a new machine, it's like, well, I'll just buy another one. But then like when you message me and I felt your sort of disappointment in the message, and I was thinking of like, you know, if that had happened to me on the robot sale of like this incredible opportunity came out of nowhere, I was like, oh my God, I have to act on this. Like, what, once in a lifetime opportunity, what a great price. And then if you know, he'd messaged me saying, yeah, now it's off, I just would have been demo. Like, it's like,
I was like scheming all of the ways because I had been talking to this guy for like over a week and I went back and he claimed he didn't know that. And I was like, man, can't you honor that I've been talking to you for like longer than this other person since you told him seemingly I was interested and he just immediately made an offer. And I was like, I didn't have that opportunity. So, I mean, some of it I will take blame of that I didn't immediately say like, I'll give you a deposit or something. Like I just, for over $100,000 purchases, I don't usually jump to like, here's some money. Like I'm usually like a little more considerate since double the cost of any of my other machines. So I don't know. I was really torn up about it. Like I was Friday and just felt even through into the night till I fall asleep, just like, God, you fucked up. Like, what did you do? So what it amounted to is like, now I'm looking for machines that are new, most likely, or hoping for another opportunity like this that seemed really rare for more money for lesser machine. It's like, this is kind of a deal breaker at this point. Like, the money doesn't make sense for us. So, this is my long sob story. I kind of went back to just going through the weekend and the week and looking at, you know, all over at machines, trying to find other used machines. And Monday morning rolls around and I was like, I just happened to look around and I was like, oh my God, there's another one of these that I've seen before somehow at an event I went to.
Yeah.
And I'm still hesitant to, even now, even though I know this takes a week to get out, but I'm hesitant to talk about the specifics of it because I don't want anybody else to take it.
Yeah, don't.
From out from under me.
No.
But I have an opportunity for another machine that has newer, It's got way less hours, even though the other one had like no hours. It doesn't have as many tools. It's the same type of machine. I've got like multiple parties that have used it or know of it and how good of a condition it is. I know the seller of the machine through other people. So I'm just basically sitting on a order to sign, which you and I were talking about before this, about like, is the world okay right now? Should I put down more debt? Is this stupid? Like, you know, like you get, I've been talking myself in and out of this concept for, I think, a week now, at least. Just, is this a good idea? So I am pretty sure I'm going to go for it. And it's going to be a big change for us.
Seems like a great deal.
Yeah. Feels like it. It feels right. It's just scary.
Yeah, totally.
I think every machine purchase for me has felt like that so far, really. And there's always a hurdle to, like, I think about like how much the Shop Saver has made for us and like a net, you know, return. And it's the machine cost $40,000 in 2017. Over 10x, but way over 10x return, you know, like, and at this point, I don't see any, it's running tool forks right now. I don't see any like slowing down of that concept. So
yeah,
you need to sell a YCM.
You do. Hey? Yeah. Have you got any leads on that? How are you feeling about clearing that?
It's a little slow. I did get it listed on like cncmachines.com, which the way it prices out looks like I want way too much money for it because of their fees and stuff. But I don't know. I don't know what to expect on like how hard it'll be to sell still.
I guess, yeah. I mean, obviously you should clear it, be good to clear it, but also it's not in the way, right?
No. Yeah, I mean, I would like it out of our shop currently, but we're putting the new machine in the expanded bay, so we'll be the only thing in that shop currently other than like a metal cutoff saw and some sticks of aluminum, and I'll get like a workbench maybe.
Yeah. Scary, but I mean, yeah, I saw the deal. It looks pretty good. I'd be struggling to talk to me right now. I'd have that paperwork. I'd have that paperwork open, which I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's sitting open in the background right now.
Just looking at me.
Should I sign it right now on the show?
On the show, live. Yeah.
Live at the show floor. That's my cool excitement.
Yep. It is exciting. Cool.
Did I tell you about, it's kind of like, it probably just happened right after I talked to you. One of our good in-town clients, customers, lets me go over and test stuff on their machine because they have a newer Shop Saver. And our dust boot accessories it's a little too narrow for some of the accessories to fit on the Shop Saver rack. They made their cutouts really quite narrow. And so we've had people asking for upgrades. Did I tell you about this? It's not going to be shocking to you, but I don't know. Feel like I need to say it. We've been needing to make an upgrade to offer somebody a better way to add spacers to their brush, because often people need spacers.
Yeah.
Just the way that these machines are set up to extend the brush lower to get more coverage on their workpiece. And so I went over and tested it. I think it was like right after we talked or something that day. And it didn't quite work with our existing spacers. They're too wide. So I measured some stuff and I was like, all right. And Ricky and I talked and we found a way to make a new brush plate assembly spacer all in one kind of thing. And I designed it sitting in bed, watching some YouTube on my laptop. And I have an X1 at my house still, because it's kind of been my prototype slow production machine. I keep it going over the weekend and stuff, and it strangely keeps up almost the same amount of quantity as like one at the shop here.
Oh, you've got an X1C at home.
Yeah.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
Awesome.
I think since my son was born, it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's right. I remember taking it home. Yeah.
And I kept debating, as like, should I take it home? And Bricky and I got to this point where like, actually, you kind of make as much there as we do here. Cause it's just like a different schedule. Anyway, so I sent it from my bed. It's a printed part for this accessory. When I woke up in the morning, it was done. I brought it to work. We put it together and it works great. And I went over and tested out the customers yesterday or 2 days ago. It also works great. And I just had this moment of like real appreciation for like how far my career of CAD to production has come. Of like, I made it in my bed. The next morning I was using it and it was flawless. Like there was no issue with it.
That's awesome.
It's really wild to me.
It's a good feeling. I had a similar experience this week with the sanding rig, of like evening at home, designing the rack and the drop-off zone and just cutting up some parts.
Yeah.
Cut it the next morning, screwed it together, programmed the tool paths, and pretty much like dig, 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 and it was working. It was just like there were no hurdles in that process. It's just like boop, 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 cool. I have an automated
really
sanding
works,
cell.
Right.
It's super satisfying.
I was going to ask you, how long does that stack last you? Like how many minutes, or do you have to go and change like the
about
sanding
2 hours.
Pad? Oh wow, that's a long time, man.
I mean, we're really sanding the sticks. We're going to town on the sticks. Like we're giving them 10 minutes each, which is a lot more than we're doing by hand. But we're getting much more consistent. Yep. Results. And then I'll probably just preemptively swap the sanding pad at that frequency as well. Although
the last 2 hours?
Yeah. Yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What
kind
of sanding pads you got down there?
Just using the Fez Tool Granite, just the standard Fez Tool ones. Don't know. I think all the robo sanding I've done so far has been like really good on the pads. I guess the consistency factor. It's like you're not overdoing the pressure.
It's gotta
You're not catching edges. It's like
Yeah. It's more or less using the entire pad consistently too, because it's just hitting like an edge. Mm. You're probably getting more wear at the outside edge. It's like all sanding probably,
I guess, because it's going faster.
That speed is way faster.
You're
gonna do so many cool things with that machine. So fucking cool.
I hope so.
Did you see Twig and Bot's probing sequence on that log?
Nuts. Lee's on it.
This person is a genius.
A whole nother level. Yeah, he's got some mad skills, that guy. Yeah, Lee from Twig and Bot posted a reel yesterday or in the last couple of days of like a huge tree in his robot cell, which because he can fit the whole tree, and like probing the surface, mapping the surface. He's also got some like super schmick. Can't remember what CAM package he uses, RobotWare or something. It's like a proper professional, because he used to be a robot integrator professionally, like that was his job. Sort of an automation robot integrator. So, like, he's come from that world. He's a pro operator and he's got the pro software. super cool having that probing stuff where it creates a model of the object and then he can map it and machine features into the surface just
the
so.
The probe from the Instagram reel I was looking at, it looked kind of like homemade. Which is,
I'm sure it
makes
it is.
Sense, right? It's just a sensor of like when it hits this point, record the location kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Offset.
Yeah, it wouldn't be hard to do.
I saw it go down once and I was like, oh my God, that's a probe. But it also looks like, it's like if you took up Renishaw probe and like made it like industrially giant.
Mm.
Super cool. I'll find it. Hopefully you link that somewhere. Or I think it's a post.
Yeah, it's a reel, I think. I've thought about in one of my many sort of chats about robot possibilities, I've thought about just making a really simple probe just with a micro switch of just like, cool, when the micro switch turns off or turns on or whatever, just send the signal back to the controller and record that position and then stop and do a slower plunge at that point. And I think, yeah, a lot of faffing around to get something like that going, but would be feasible. Something I'd like to try at some point, even just for like sanding operations of like sensing is, you know, where are we in the stack of parts, or being able to feed the same program different thickness parts and then have it just compensate automatically.
Yeah, right. It is something I'm real excited about. I'm sure it is possible with my current machine, but I tried it and it just wasn't. It involved a lot, and especially with the memory it has, it just didn't seem feasible. But with the Haas's, it seems to be so like straight out of Fusion, just works, and you can do that bi-directional like streaming of data back and forth to Fusion and stuff like that.
Oh wow,
I'm really excited for like being able to like tool check and probe check and in process and.
Yeah, having that like Fusion connection would be sick.
I was really impressed. I saw it, Richard, in Birmingham was showing that off from the YouTube channel. And there was a little station looking at it, and one of their VF2s, I think. It had the probing of, as I was explaining to Ricky, what it could do is it's you can basically like throw a part down on like a bed of Play-Doh, you know, like a cast, and then probe it and bring that data back into Fusion. You can do it by network and basically have it like auto corrected and placed into your file so that it's like, you know, ideally
nuts,
machinable.
Yeah, so wild. I love that. Yeah, it's probably one of the biggest downsides of the age of my robots is that their controller version doesn't have any computer connectivity. Like, I can network to them, but they're the generation before ABB started making, like, proper sort of, you know, connected to Robot Studio. The next version of the controller, you can have sort of a live link between...
Right.
Computer environment and robot environment, and so be able to send data feed, like stream data backwards and forwards and stuff like that. So there's probably some really hacky ways via like serial port that I could set up some really basic sort of package comms back from my controller, but it would be very, very, very basic and clunky.
I've said this before and I don't understand it at all, but I remember either from that tour I filmed with David or we talked about it at some point, like they have come up with replacing the brains of older robots like that. And I don't know what it, I don't know. I assume it's not
so cool.
The cost of a new robot. I bet it's significantly less, or otherwise why the hell would you do it?
Mm.
So I don't know. If you ever get to the point of frustration with that, there may be solutions.
I do love that idea. I feel like I would need to be retired to have the brain space to like be like, brat, I'm going to build a robot controller from scratch. But
well, I think it was kind of plug and play, and their point is like they can modernize them.
Mm. Yeah, I'd love to know more about that. David, Robot Factory.
Can ask him. David and robot upgrades. This is something that kind of Aaron and I live by. It's probably me, and she's taken to it somewhat too, but in every job, mostly her jobs, not mine, since I don't take jobs anymore from other, you know, employers, But just like every stage of life that you have the opportunity to, you should negotiate whatever it is. Like, I just, every lease I've ever had, I negotiated, like I was supposed to get some terms, and I...
You're so American. My God. Who told me?
No, it's just every time you can always get, like, especially jobs, like every time you're offered something, it's like, you can always get more money. You can always get, you can negotiate your paid time off. You could, it's just like everything. I got a day of training on this machine that I did just sign it and send it back, by the way. So
did you?
Definitely just bought a machine on the show. still have to get the financing finalized, yep. But
sick. Congrats.
But I got a day of training for free. Because I just asked about it. And they're like, usually on used machines, we don't do that. And I was like, I mean, it's on your website, man. Like, what do you think? Like, and he's like, yeah, I can send somebody out.
Nice.
This isn't a thing in your culture.
Maybe it's just me. No. Maybe it's just me. I am the polar opposite of that. My natural state is to not ask for help and not negotiate and just be like,
yeah, I'm like that sometimes.
That's the price. And maybe naively, stupidly, I'm like, that's the price for a reason. Cool. I'll pay your price. No worries.
Right.
Laura and I went to Indonesia for our honeymoon, which is very off brand for us. Like, even doing the honeymoon thing and going to that part of the world where a lot of Australians go, Bali, is like very, very odd. But we're like, yeah. It was deliberately off brand. We're like, cool, this is not something we would ever do. Let's, you know, that'll make it more special. Let's do it. And I remember like how Laura and I both similar in that we don't negotiate. And I remember how confused. Mm-hmm. How totally perplexed the locals were.
Residents were.
By our lack of bargaining, and to the point where, like, we bargained people up on occasion if we're like, we thought something was too cheap. It's just not something I do. I don't know. And maybe it's, I don't know where culturally what it's like.
You have a less stress-free life.
But to hearing you say that, hearing you say that in your accent of like, always negotiate, you can always get more. I'm just like, it's so American. My gosh, disgusting.
But I
was brought up as an anti-American snob. I was like, America was a bad thing as a child. Like anything, my dad like hated American TV, American films. Like I was only exposed to European
It's coming culture. Out. Episode 156.
So yeah, this is, you know, I've got little baked in bits of me which are like, oh yuck, nah. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. My mother is. I'm similar to my mother in like we really like a good deal. So maybe there's something there. And
that was my grandfather.
It's different to do it like it, standing in front of somebody and like go back and forth about a price endlessly. Like I don't love that feeling, but like when it's always worth it to some degree. Like you know, a lot of the negotiate about like jobs, like Aaron's jobs and stuff, are usually by email, and it's like written statements that are like you can pour over the words and make it really convincing, and I enjoy that because it's getting the most value out of what she's worth and little word puzzle.
You mean in terms of employment contracts and benefits and that sort of stuff? Yeah, sure.
And we don't really have. Maybe that's just a phrase. We don't really have. I mean, some people have contracts. It's especially in Oregon. I think it's. You agree to work for somebody basically for a set amount of money, and you have no like set timeline or anything.
Hmm. But do you have rights as a permanent employee? Like
I couldn't a permanent tell you employee the exact language rights of employee Oregon.
Like my
your
staff
rights at work.
Let's get into some contracts. But like all my staff are deemed permanent. They are on permanent contracts, which means I can't terminate their employment without fairly big reasons. Whereas, you know, if someone's a casual worker, their contract is day by day. Like there's only work the following day.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas if you do casual work here for I think more than 6 months, the employer is sort of obligated to reconsider that of like, you know, a casual worker who's been doing that for more than 6 months can I think technically apply to become permanent or semi-permanent. I can't remember this the stuff exactly, but yeah.
To my ear, a casual worker would not be legal in my state.
Ah, you're right.
It's just a little too. No, I just mean it's you can't hear it the same. It sounds like you're of a sex worker of a type. You're a very casual worker, just down on the street corner. Although we can get into that too. I don't know. We have right to work. Yeah. Let's go back. We have a right to work, and each state has their own laws. It's messy, but we don't need a reason to fire somebody here. But we also have contract. I've realized we have what are called 1099 contract employees, which are what you're describing as casual workers, I think.
Okay.
Where they don't have... Yeah. This is where we lost everybody. They're like, what are they doing?
See
Why
you
are we
later.
Talking contract law? Jeez.
Shout out to...
CNC machines.
Grasshopper. Shout out to Matthew from Simple Wood Goods.
I was going to say that.
Is that the name of the business? Simple Wood Goods. Yeah.
Yes.
Who make those cool
cubes. I was going to say, can we talk about this?
I don't know. No, I'm not going to really talk about it. I'm just going to say thanks for sending cool examples of the amazing stuff he's doing in Grasshopper and Cam. That business has got some cool stuff going on under the hood, and I don't know how public he is about it, so I won't talk about any specifics, but thanks, man.
I think I could describe it without describing it as exact things, and that he's come up with some really cool ways to program CNC machines without a proper like package, like it's not like Fusion or Rhino Cam. It's like he's come up with a way to like script his own both like nesting of parts but like designing the parts so that they're manufacturable from like solid bodies and then outputting that as G code with like post processors streamed in. It's just like it made it sound so simple and like, oh yeah, it does this, and I'm like,
what?
Are you a software developer? Like how did you do this?
Yeah, super impressive. And I think, seeing that whilst I've been trying to basically make my own cam in Grasshopper for the robots was like, inspirational. Like, maybe I'll scrap Airtable and go back to doing all my quoting in Grasshopper again. That was fun.
It's just eventually it won't open anymore. You're like, it's too big and too complicated.
Yeah.
He's another one. That'd be cool to do a little demo? Or
interview/demo
episode of some of that stuff. Like his business is super cool.
Yeah, that'd be sick. Let's get some guests on here, man. Stop us talking about employment contracts.
We keep trying and then it's like we talk about it and then we just fall asleep until the next episode.
Yeah.
It's just scheduling
stuff. It is.
I think at some point the technical aspect of it was probably really challenging, but it feels like it'd be like super easy now.
Well, remember when we had
all this work?
Mel, Mel, Eric Larson.
Yeah, right.
That worked really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that episode. Thanks, Mel.
No kidding. Mel.
Cool. I got to go take the kids to school, so I should probably to-doodle off.
Uh-huh. Yep. Oh, I'll get my last. I printed a giant. The first thing I had planned for the H2S when it arrived,
printer, yeah.
New bamboo. What's it? 12-inch diameter, like, duct takeoff. So, like, the air conditioner behind me here is in the office. It's, like, from the 80s. It's ancient. It goes through the wall into the garage space of my shop, which it was here when we got here. This is, I always joked, it's the best air conditioner of my life because it's just, like, it's in America, there was a place when... and time when we used to have this really toxic, like, Freon is what it was called. It was the air conditioning element. And this, I'm pretty sure, still has Freon in it. It's like ozone depleting crap if it gets out. But it works really well. It was, like, super effective. And so this air conditioner still works amazing. But it exhausts itself into my garage of the shop. So when we shut the door when it's hot out, it just puts hot air in there. And so I've forever been like, well, I could just, like, duct that out under the garage door. It's real close to it. And so because we were buying this giant printer, I made a 12-inch duct and I had a SendCutSend little, like, cap made so that I could suck the air off the end of the air conditioner out the door. And it all worked flawlessly. Right at the end of summer.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome. I did have a moment of like, oh my gosh, he's making a baby pants for my robot.
It might work. I could probably send you one.
So super side tangent, but Freon, that gas. I was reading an article this week about the guy that invented that. He's also the guy that developed leaded gasoline or fuel. And
he's a nice guy.
He's responsible for, like, so many human deaths through his innovations. But it reminded me that it wasn't that long ago that leaded gasoline was phased out. Like, I think I can remember as a kid that you could still buy it at the Bowser. So I've probably got plenty of lead in my system as a result. Thanks, Mr. Thomas.
Huffing Freon and lead.
Midgley Jr. Yeah,
that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So you go down a bad tangent of terrible things that the world he's doing it again. Messing with my messing with my notes. It feels like there's like a, it's like so fast that it feels like a lag since the last time I typed. Like, wow, why did I just typed that. Why did it change?
Cool bananas. Mm-hmm. Well, congrats on buying a new machine.
We'll see. Hopefully, I don't have to, like, either cut all of this out
out
of embarrassment because I didn't get the financing, or write a statement of apology.
These things happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I can react. Oh, I can now make a love sign. Clap, 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 clap. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Goodbye.